Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, April 10th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, as always, to be found on thechairshot.com. And you can listen to us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Going to go around the room like I do each and every week and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show. I'm going to start with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how's your coffee, sir?
It is very good, very good.
All right. Rob's sipping on a coffee at 8:30 on a Thursday night. I would be up all night. I couldn't do it.
Well, because, all right. And because of our technical difficulties, we're starting later than usual, and it's 8:30, which means, it's going to be over for me pretty soon if I didn't have some caffeine here. Okay.
The king of the power nap may actually nap on the show if he doesn't get his coffee in him.
Yes.
So, all right. And moving on, last but never, ever, ever least, the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner. He's the man with the bionic back destined to go through a barber shop window. Jason, sir, how you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. I am freshly vacationed and feeling fresh and wonderful and here with my pals, even though it took us a little while.
Yeah.
We're all here.
And you guys are going to talk about that little mini vacation that you took here at the tail end of this episode. If you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know that Rob and Jason went to AEW Dynasty this weekend. But they did more than that. They made a whole weekend out of it, and they're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But I want to kick off the show talking this week. Jason and Rob and I in our little group chat were having a discussion about Ricky Saints. And formerly known as Ricky Starks in AEW, made his debut in NXT a few weeks back and has immediately lit the division on fire. Like, the guy has been a home run seemingly right out of the gate. He's doing incredible work down there. And Jason made the comment in our chat thread. He's like, how did Tony fumble him? And I want to break not only, I don't want to talk specifically about him, but I want to talk about I want to make a discussion out of the fumbling topic, because you see a lot of that online in the internet wrestling community. How did WWE fumble XYZ? How did AEW fumble ABC? And I think there's a broader discussion to be had here, because I don't think it's necessarily a fumble, although one could argue, one could look at like a Tony Storm or an Athena or someone like that and say, yeah, WWE absolutely dropped the ball there. But you can also look at the swath of talent who has come from AEW in the last 24 months and say, yeah, They dropped the ball there too. But I think it comes down more to perception. And this isn't a Triple H thing. This isn't a Tony Khan thing. This is a wrestling promoter thing. I think certain promoters, not certain, all promoters, look at their talent a certain way. And each promoter is going to have their people. And they're going to have their people that they look at and say, yeah, I see this girl at the top of the card. I see this guy at the top of the card. I see this role for you, that role for you. And it's done across the wrestling board. And there are absolutely talents who fall into the blind spot. Whether your last name is Levesque, whether your last name is Khan, whether your last name is Rhodes, McMahon, Watts, Gagne, right on down the line. And Rob, you've been watching this about as long as I have. What's your take on that?
Well, if you look at a wrestling company, similar to like a sports team, there are times where, you know, the coach just doesn't see it in a certain player, and then that player goes somewhere else and they have a great career. It happens. And now sometimes it is the coach's fault. Sometimes it's the coach's fault. Sometimes maybe the player wasn't getting it done where they were originally. Sometimes it's nobody's fault, right? You know, cause you have a roster and it's, you can't play everybody and, you know, or you can only play, you know, you have a limited amount of time to play having people on your roster. And sometimes you just don't get the time to, you know, give somebody to really show what they can do. It happens, right? I mean, and you know, like sometimes, sometimes it is egregious. Like Vince McMahon did not know what to do with Lex Luger, right? Vince McMahon wanted Lex Luger to be Hulk Hogan, Captain America, and that was never who Lex Luger was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he was never that. So, I mean, yeah, I put that squarely on Vince. But then somebody like Samoa Joe was always injured. And I'm wearing a Samoa Joe t-shirt right now, actually. But Samoa Joe, as great as Joe is, Joe was always injured when he was there. You can't give some prolonged push to somebody who was always getting injured. So that was nobody's fault.
Let's talk about Joe a little bit, because it's very obvious that Vince McMahon bought into Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, when he was healthy, was always on TV and he was always in something big. I mean, the dude was at least a one-time U.S. champ. I think he was an Intercontinental champ.
He main evented a pay-per-view against Brock Lesnar in a singles match.
There is a select few people who get to do that.
Yes, and it wasn't a squash. He gave Brock everything he could handle.
Match is so good.
And so Brock obviously liked him, because we know how Brock is with that stuff. But Joe was always hurt. But we have seen plenty of times people go on Twitter and say that Vince fumbled Samoa Joe. No, Vince tried very hard with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe always got hurt. And it happens, right? So
yep.
That's an example. No, Vince did not fumble Samoa Joe. But I can say very much that Vince did fumble Lex Luger. Okay. WCW fumbled Bret Hart. Bret fell in their laps and they didn't know what to do with him.
I want to jump in here, because when we talk about the word fumble, I started this whole conversation with my quote of, you know, they fumbled Ricky Starks. Now, when I use fumble, I mean there was money to be made with this guy, and you decided not to make money with them.
Okay.
That's what happened with Ricky Starks. Like, at one point he and Big Bill won the titles off of FTR and then lost those titles to Sting and Darby Allin. So yes, were they a transitional champion? Probably yes, but they're still in the ring trusted to do the jobs with these guys. Both do the job and get the win. So, and he won that championship eliminator match, and then all of a sudden he was just gone. And we have no choice now. I don't care. I don't want to go over the reporting or whatever. It's pretty clear now. He made it known to somebody that he was going to Jacksonville, or that, excuse me, he was going to Florida, but whatever. He's going to WWE. So he got put on the shelf. So you fumbled that guy, because you could have made money with that guy. Like, and now look at Okay, yeah, maybe if you had kept going with him, he wouldn't have had, he wouldn't have to have this whatever like year or 6 months in NXT. He might have gone straight to the main roster. If you had continued to just use him on your programming to the best of your abilities, knowing that he's going to walk, because while he's under your contract, he can still make money for you, genius, instead of you throwing money into a furnace.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by fumble. Okay. So Toni Storm, to just draw another analogy, Toni Storm was not a fumble because I didn't know she had what she did in AEW in her. And I wouldn't be shocked if not many people in WWE did. Like you were saying, DJ, they saw her in a certain lane. They left her in that lane and they didn't let them explore. So yeah, I wouldn't call that a full blown fumble because they still put her on TV. They still tried to use her. They still tried to, you know, get something. But yeah, so that's somewhere just the, you're not maximizing it. There was a fit thing. It wasn't the right whatever. But yeah, fumbles, it means you left money on the table and it's pretty painfully obvious to everyone.
And like with, look, with Toni Storm, nobody saw that.
Okay. No. Nobody did.
I'm trying to be nice, but like.
Yeah. No, no. The only person who saw that was Tony.
Right.
Okay. Storm. And RJ City, who's on their creative team at AEW. They're the only people who saw that. Okay. Tony Khan probably. They probably had to.
Hey, Tony, and credit, because we rip him all the time on this show, and we need to be, we love to be fair when we can be fair. Credit, he gave them all the green lights he could, and when they kept making money, he kept giving them money and just said, yep, keep going. Gave them all.
He gave them plenty of runway to tell that story.
So for all the sins of Tony Khan, like that might be one of his, the best moves he's ever made is just letting Tony be Tony.
Yeah. And, now, so I wouldn't call that a fumble, because again, she had, and who knows when she actually came up with all that either. I mean, she might not have even thought of all this until she was already
and
there.
And the bigger, Don, not to cut you off, Rob, but I think people need to remember WWE didn't fire her. She asked to be let go, and they granted it.
Yeah.
Because if they had kept her, they would have found something for Toni Storm. We might not have gotten timeless Toni Storm. So as fate would have it, it ended up being the right move. Because of everything that AEW does that I'll criticize, I have into a microphone said that is the best thing they've ever done. You know, and I'll say it again repeatedly. It really is. So, you know, fate intervened in the right way, but she asked to be released. So you can't even call that a fumble under any circumstances.
Now, I will say, I'll call Ricochet one because Ricochet had, he wanted to do character stuff, obviously, and they did not see that for, and they, you know, they didn't want him to do it. They wanted him, they wanted him to do the stuff he had been doing. He wanted to do character stuff and
wrong answer. Cause this doofus character he's been playing, this online personality dialed up to 11 has been awesome television.
Yes. And so I think, yeah, I will call that a fumble because, you know, somebody, they did not hear him out apparently. And then, so he, and look, we all thought he was leaving because he wanted to just do flippy ship turned up to 12, right? That's why we thought he left, but it's not.
Yeah.
And he left because he had some other things. He wanted to go in a different direction and they wouldn't let him.
Hey, even in that match on Sunday, I wouldn't say that was flippy shit at a 12.
Yeah. No.
But that's, I mean, that's what we all thought that's what it was. We all thought that's why he was leaving.
Right.
And so, you know, look, he's probably got a folder full of stuff that he pitched to them to do and they were like, nah, not really. So
let's analyze that a little further then. When you, and because again, we're talking about big fish, big pond, big fish, smaller pond. And, you know, I think Ricochet's awesome. And, you know, I've come around on the work that he's doing in AEW. I wasn't a big fan of it to begin with. I thought it was dorky and I had a hard time taking him serious. To his credit, all do. He's turned me around.
What's the point?
Yeah, once I got it, I got it.
Like I said, he's playing his online character. He's like, he's playing how he acts on Twitter to an 11 or 12. So it was hard. It was for us to like get around that. But after a few weeks and seeing it, you're like, no, he is like fully in this and he is being this douchebag 1000% on purpose. And it's amazing.
But when you look at, okay, take WWE's roster and take the people that are in the biggest storylines. And again, we always talk about TV time and content and things like that. With everything WWE has going on, and Ricochet at that point in time filling a very specific niche in WWE, there's no room for growth there in terms of any character development because they've got too much other stuff going on. Nobody's going to invest in that. So, yeah, if that's the case, you understand the frustration. Him going, well, if you guys aren't going to use me for anything else other than this, you know, I'll just move on down the road. And he did, and it's worked out seemingly better for him, and WWE hasn't missed a beat without him. So, you know, again, as just like with Tony Storm, as fate would have it, somebody bet on themselves, and, you know, it's paid off for him. So I guess you could call that a fumble, but for me, I think I see that more as a blind spot. You know, Triple H looking at what he's got, and he's looking at Ricochet going, I don't see a spot for this guy doing the type of stuff he wants to do because of everything else that I have going on. So I look at that more as a blind spot more. And I don't think Triple H ever looked at this guy and said that he's just not talented. He just probably looked at him. And again, this comes back to each promoter's preference, you know, because we can look at, I'll take Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dusty Rhodes is heralded as one of the greatest bookers of all time. Yeah. And the boys love Dusty. You know, when I was in the business, man, not a soul said a bad word about Dusty. Steve Austin has gone again into a microphone and talked about how frustrated he was with Dusty Rhodes booking. Because at one point they saw him as a single star. Then they teamed him up with Brian Pillman. He's like, I don't want to be a tag team. He's like, well, you're a tag team with Brian Pillman. Then he made it work. Then they got over. And then as soon as they got over, they split him up. He's like, nah, I want you to be a single star. He's like, but I'm enjoying this. You know, so Steve Austin was very frustrated with Dusty Rhodes in his booking and his creative. And I can probably 100% guarantee you Dusty Rhodes never looked at stunning Steve Austin and said, that guy's a main eventer, daddy. You know, he never did. And that showed in his booking. He saw him as a solid mid-card talent because Austin was a workhorse. He could cut a promo. He looked good. But again, he just never saw Austin past a certain level. And this is a guy who went on to be one of the top four biggest names ever in the history of the business. So, you know, it's every promoter is going to have their blind spots. They're just going to have even Eric Bischoff was guilty of it too. You know, I'll take Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, we all knew what Jericho could be. Bischoff saw him a certain level. The biggest thing Jericho ever got was the list of Jericho, you know, and they sent that to commercial, you know.
Yeah.
They cut him off at a commercial break.
Yeah.
So they're all there. So I hate the word fumbled because it obviously if WWE fumbled as many people as everybody says they do, and again, AEW, same thing. If AEW fumbled every single person that everybody says they did, they would have folded 3 years ago. WWE would have folded 40 years ago, you know, because if the internet existed back in the 80s, WWE fumbled Rick Rude. WWE fumbled Mr. Perfect. WWE fumbled Jake the Snake, Roddy Piper, Scott Hall. You know, they fumbled all these guys if you're going by the internet definition of fumbled. And I don't believe that.
Yeah. That's
to be painfully obvious, like to everybody. Like, again, that's why Ricky is a perfect example. Like, sorry, just make money with the dude. You'd make more money just putting him in random battle royals and stuff. Like, come on. Even if you want to put him out to pasture or whatever, or put him on, you know, I don't know, dereliction duty.
Yeah. Rob, you were going to say?
I think what you guys are saying is fair, and I'm trying to think of another example.
Well, that's what I was about to say, Rob. There aren't that many that fit my definition because it's like, yeah, they went over here and made more money, but they were doing fine over there, you know. So it, yeah, there aren't many. Ricky is definitely the most recent, but
yeah, I mean, so I mean, just it happens. again, like, because if there's some egregious offense, you know, just egregious oversight or some deliberate oversight by management, then yeah, I think you have, I mean, yeah, you can knock them for that or some just, you know, flagrant kind of misuse, like, you know, like I said, Lex Luger and when he was in WWF. But I mean, sometimes it just happens. I mean,
Well, another genuine WWE, here's a good example for you, Rob. Another genuine WWF Vince McMahon fumble was Vader. You know,
yes.
Vince had Vader. Vader! Like, dude, when we saw the vignettes for Vader and he was doing the moonsault on the trampoline and everything before he even debuted, the house I was in, I was watching Superstars or Raw or some shit with my friends, and we went apeshit. Because we knew Vader had left WCW because of the fight with Paul Orndorff. So we knew Vader had gone from there. We knew he was coming to WWE, but it wasn't real until we saw Vader on our TV. So we're like, holy shit. And now we're fan booking Vader versus Bret Hart, Vader versus Shawn Michaels, Vader versus Yokozuna, Vader versus, you know, all of these guys across the board. And for 6 months, it was good. And then it wasn't. And then it just fell apart. And it was just, it was awful. And they, how do you take a guy like Vader? Now, granted, there was some backstage politicking going on during that time, which probably didn't help. But that's at a point where Vince McMahon, much like we say about Tony, should have been a boss and said, look, this right now is my guy. This is what I want to fucking do. Instead of being afraid that your other guys may get mad and go to the other company, stand on business. If you've got Vader and you want to book Vader like a monster, stand on business and book him like a monster. And that's a real fumble.
And well, I got another one now I thought about it. A guy who we know very well, was fumbled by WCW, a man by the name of Mark Calloway.
Yeah.
Yes,
because
that dude was told to his face he'd never draw a dime.
Yeah, they said, hey, man, there's nothing. You got nothing, kid. You got nothing. There's no money in you, man. They told him that point blank.
And it was Gene Anderson. Was it Gene or Ole?
Oh, it was Ole. Ole told him that.
It was Ole Anderson. Ole Anderson told him to his face, you're not going to draw.
Yeah, and then so his kayfabe manager in WCW got him an in with the WWF. And his kayfabe manager, WCW, was one Paul Heyman. Okay. Back when he was Paulie Dangerously. Basically, because Paul used to take pictures for Vince Sr., so Paul knew people over there. And so when Ole told him, you're never going to draw anything, Paul, I guess, made a couple of calls or something and got him, an audience with Vince or whatever, and then facilitated the whole thing.
Paul Heyman is like the Phil Coulson of the wrestling world.
Yeah.
that dude was in the background of everything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I was just listening to him talk about, the way he and Vince Sr. used to talk to each other was funny because, like Vince Sr. knew he was too young to be working, but he just, kind of said, hey, some of these pictures and you can, here's some money for school, But yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman got Mark Calloway, an audience with Vince, and Ole Anderson had told him that you're not going to draw any money here. And then, and we'll be 30 years later, right? They fumble. I mean, that's definitely a fumble.
That's a genuine fumble on their
part. Yeah.
And the bottom line is we're still too early in the game for a lot of these workers. Like, and especially, I think, again, I want to go back to Samoa Joe, mostly because I love Joe, and I don't want anything that I'm about to say to come off like a negative, but Joe is closer to the end of his career than the beginning.
He knows, he'll tell you that himself.
Yeah, if WWE had 23, 24-year-old Samoa Joe, and they just looked at him and said, I got nothing for him, and they let him go. And he went to AEW and went on a 20-year run where he drew crowds, made money, and became the Samoa Joe that we know and love today. Then, yeah, we're looking at you going, okay, Vince, what the fuck were you thinking? you know, because you left money on the table by letting Samoa Joe leave your company, but not at the end of his career. You know, yeah, Joe's had an incredible run in AEW. I'm glad he had a place to land, and I'm glad they did big things with him. But to act like Samoa Joe, who was injured half of his WWE main roster tenure, was a fumble, I think is just lunacy.
Yeah. Well, let me add, I mean,
it's not a bad thing to say at that moment in time, Joe was probably never going to be WWE champion. Like, let's just say the last 6 months before he left. Joe was probably never going to be WWE champion at that point, even if he stayed. He made an excellent AEW champion.
I'll say the same thing about Joe that I've said about LA Knight, 5 years too late.
Yeah, and Joe basically literally, like, restored the credibility to the AEW world title.
Right. And for what that's what I meant, Rob. Like, for what they were trying to do with that title, both at the time, because, you know, everything that had happened, and just in general, as a newer promotion, Joe was a perfect guy to carry that title, and he did awesome with it.
Yeah. And, here's another thing, just for fans. Okay. If you're a fan of somebody, if you're really a fan of somebody, you should want to see them do well. And it's in this day and age where you can literally watch, you can watch any company you want to now, if you're willing to, you know, get the right streaming thing or whatever. Or this is in the old days where if your favorite wrestler went to the Pacific Northwest and you lived over here, you were fucked. Right.
Yeah.
This isn't that. Okay. You can watch whoever your favorite people are, you can watch them wherever they go now. So if you're really a fan of somebody, you should want them to go where they can do well. Okay. You know what? If you're a fan of Toni Storm, you should be happy that she got over to AEW and to do all of this.
In defense of the tribalism, I will say this. Sometimes it's hard, to watch multiple wrestling programs. And I've gone on record as saying this. I've had access to AEW now for 4.5 months, and I have watched 4.5 weeks of it. Simply because I just don't have time, you know, it has not roped me in enough to make it must see television. But even the stuff that I like between my regular life, my other hobbies, taking a break from wrestling, working a job, you know, I don't have time to watch everything. But like Rob said, it's out there, and I would love the convenience of all the wrestlers that I enjoy being on the one program that I do have the time, and it's the easiest for me to access, which is WWE. But if I want to watch the artist formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, it's not too hard to go watch him. If I want to watch Toni Storm, it's not hard to watch her. It's right. She's right there. You know, these people are there, and that's the beauty of being a wrestling fan, as Rob's talking about, in 2025. It's not a reach to find these people. And if you're that desperate to watch Samoa Joe, Dolph Ziggler, Toni Storm, Athena, whoever, watch the other show. It's really not. And I guess the caveat to that is that the other show just, and this is part of it for me, the other show as a whole just may not rope you in enough to make you want to sit through all the other stuff in hopes that your favorite person on that show might come on. You know, and that's me with AEW. And in a nutshell, that's me with AEW. There's so much bad going on there. Do I want to tune in to 2 hours of Dynamite in hopes that I might see Lashley, in hopes that I might see Shelton, in hopes that I might see, you know, Willow or something like that? And to me, unfortunately, the answer is no. So.
That's fair.
We were hoping we were going to get Willow on Sunday, but.
Yeah.
Was she not there?
She wasn't on the show, yeah.
Ah.
But, it's just basically, it's kind of, I guess for me, ultimately, if you're a fan of somebody, I think you should want them to do well. And look, it's better if they do well for the company that you watch the most. Absolutely. And even, you know, but I'd rather, even if I don't get around to watching the other company that they go to, right? I would rather them do well.
Yeah.
No. Like, you know, we all love Athena, okay? And we haven't really seen her because she's behind the paywall of Honor. But I think we're all happy for her that she's gotten to go on that run over there, even if we don't get to see her. We'd rather her be doing what she's been doing than to be in WWE and be a damn jobber.
Right. Yeah, I'm not paying to watch Ring of Honor. I'm not doing it. If they put her regularly on AEW TV, I'll probably start watching again.
But now it looks like she's...
You're gonna have to.
Yeah, but I'd rather her do the things that she's been doing over there, even if I don't get to see them. I'd rather her be doing that than to be, you know, again, be a jobber on Raw or SmackDown. Or be somebody, or just somebody who's kind of perpetually stuck in the mid card and only like putting over people, right? And I'd rather her be doing what she's been doing, even though
I gotcha.
Well, and let's fumble. You have to think about this. Whatever your definition is, you, the listener, this person was fumbled. Well, you probably know that because they're out there kicking ass on another promotion that is easily watchable in this, the year of our tribal chief, 2025. And you have a internet connection. You're good to go, man. So stop concentrating on the fact that they're fumbled and just be happy that whoever it is, Triple H, Tony Khan, whoever, somebody got it right. And just be happy about that. Because we live in a wrestling utopia right now.
Because there was a time, if this was, 2005 and somebody had got quote unquote fumbled, they might be out of the business.
Yeah.
Right.
At least now there's options. We live in a good time as fans for the wrestlers.
So they get fumbled because we'll never know. So you can be whatever.
So let's move on from that. I don't want to linger on that too much longer than what we did. Let's kick around a little bit of WrestleMania hype. Because we are now, as of the posting date of this podcast, 7 days away from WrestleMania 41, and more matches have been announced. We've got hopefully a couple more. We've still got 2 more SmackDown go-home shows, 1 more Raw. So, you know, we've still got 3 more shows to go before we officially start night 1 of WrestleMania. There's still room for more, and there's speculation that they may add a couple more between now and then. Guys, there's so much discourse about there not being much hype for this WrestleMania. I'm hyped. I think there's a lot of really good high stakes matches going on here. And, you know, we were originally going to talk about the promo between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair from last Friday night on SmackDown. The air has fairly well been cleared on that one. I don't think we need to go too deep down the road on that one. I expect these two to deliver one hell of a match. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But the card in general, like somebody was saying earlier, we could potentially have a total of 14 matches throughout the whole weekend, which averages out to about 7 per show.
Yeah.
Which in the Triple H era, when you look at time and spacing and the amount of time that he gives his artists to paint, that sounds about right.
Yeah, because the 2-night manias usually go, they have somewhere between 13 and 15 matches, the 2-night mania. Yeah, ever since the first one at the PC. Yeah, it's usually between 13 and 15 matches.
So I think we're going to be in for a hell of a treat. Jason, what are your thoughts, right? Like, what is your excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 for WrestleMania tonight, like right now?
I'm at a solid. If I'm just judging it by the most I've ever been excited for a Mania and the least I've been excited, I'd say probably a solid 7 or 8, 7.5, if you will. Maybe a lot of it is trepidation about the results. They've gone – Triple H loves long-term storytelling, guys. I don't think that's something you can lay at WWE's feet anymore, and it hasn't been true for quite some time. I mean, we've got stories that are going back to last year's WrestleMania. We've got stories going back to, you know, Survivor Series 20, whatever, whenever the Shield came out, showed up again. Showed up for the first time, rather. And especially like with them adding Drew and, Priest, then like, you know, that goes back to last year's WrestleMania and, you know, it's a very, very cohesive, you know, thing that they've got going on right now. I know there have been some bumps along the way, usually when Dwayne's involved, but you know, for the most part, they've been telling some awesome stories, and we're getting to the finish line, man.
Rob, scale of 1 to 10, where are you at?
Might be like 7 or 8. Here's the thing, all right. So, one, we talked before about the like this super long gap between the Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania, like the longest ever, 7 weeks. That's a really long time. I know because it was only one more week than usual. That makes a difference. It really does.
Sure.
And also, like last year, look, we were all high on cocaine last year, okay?
We were.
Okay, with the Cody and the story and the final boss and Roman and Seth being involved and, you know, The Rock coming back to wrestle for the first time in over a decade. I mean, yeah, we were all high on cocaine last year.
Yeah, we were all sniffing the powder, man.
Okay. And again. So, you know, this year's different. Like anything was going to be a letdown from last year. Okay. Anything was. And so
last year, guys, I can't stress this enough. They just copied the Avengers homework and we were walking into Endgame. So,
okay. That's a great analogy because let's take Marvel after Endgame. There's a lot of, again, online discourse that anything, I don't know what phase they are, phase 5 or the multiverse saga, basically. You know, everybody, oh, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks. I'm like, I don't think it sucks. It's not, you know, the Infinity Stone saga, but not everything's going to be. You know, and I've said this before, if everything's special, then nothing is. And, you know, WrestleMania 40 was the culmination of a 4-year storyline. And all the peripheral goings on around that, it was a payoff to a very, very large thing. And you had to follow that a year later, and you can't. But it doesn't mean it's bad.
No, and I also add, we're tired.
Guys, that story had been building for 1,316 days.
Yes. Yeah. And I was going to add, but also, you know, we're tired. Because Triple H took over in August of 2022. And a lot of us in the IWC and podcast land and everywhere have been just completely dialed in 1,000% on like everything they've been doing ever since. Okay. And for almost 2.5 years and they've been doing more and just Raw, SmackDown, NXT. And then, you know, some people are watching the Speed stuff and now they got Evolve and they got the LFG and they got all this stuff going on. A lot of us have been dialed in, maybe not on every single thing, but we've been like just turned up to 100 as far as our attention on whatever it is we're watching that they do. And well, I can only speak for myself. I'm a little tired and not tired of it, but I'm a little tired because just being 100% just dialed in on all this stuff for 2.5 years. I mean, you know, there comes a point where you just start running out of gas.
It's the bloodline, like, not fatigue, but like the come down, the crash. Like, because they've been at the wheel for, you know, a little bit longer than 1,316 days, you know, and they've been driving and it's just,
it's very post. We're in the post coitus. We're in the post coitus phase. We really are. And that's not a bad thing. It just means, you know, they're still putting in good work. I think some of the overanalyzing and like Rob said, we're all dialed in, is a lot of people waiting for Triple H to make that one mistake so they can go, aha, gotcha. This is where I'm at. I'm at about a solid 8 to 9. Huh?
Sorry, if at this point he makes some sort of colossal mistake or something like that, some big booking error, it's the law of averages at this point.
They're going to be fine. But here's where I'm at, and we talk a lot on this show, and I want to quote our friend Jay, watch it like a kid and a nana. While, yes, I host a podcast, and I am keenly aware of the fact that we do analyze this stuff weekly, and we will continue to do so, I am looking at this year's WrestleMania. This is one year where I'm looking at the bell-to-bell content. the build has been what it is, and some of it I've really, really liked. Some of it I've questioned. Some of it I haven't. Like, I take the Io Sky, Bianca Belair, God, her name just fell right out of my head, Rhea Ripley match. Rhea Ripley being in this match, it makes absolutely no sense. None whatsoever. Bianca was 100% right on Monday night. I won the Elimination Chamber. I won my title shot. I earned it. What did Rhea Ripley do other than stick her nose in a situation that did not concern her? Okay. I agree with that storyline. So her being added to it is convoluted. And I love Rhea Ripley. I don't want this to come across as me not being a Rhea Ripley hater because she's one of my favorites. But storyline wise, it makes absolutely no sense. Bianca's promo was great, but her saying, you know what, at this point, I don't even care. Be in the match. I'll whip your ass too. Makes her sound kind of stupid, especially if she loses. So for me, not a fan of that. However, I know what these three women are capable of. I know the match is going to be awesome. So for me, I'm interested in this year's WrestleMania for the bell to, but what is the talent going to do with what they were given? Because it's very easy for talent to work with really good material. Now that you've been given material that's not as good as it has been in the past, let's see what you do with that. And for me, that's what this WrestleMania is about. Deliver something to me that's enjoyable within the confines of what you've been given to do. And to me, with what they have lined up so far, we've got some really good matches coming out of this.
Yeah, like I said before, if I give you a test with 10 questions, if you get seven of them right, you got 7 out of 10.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you failed, right? That doesn't mean you did a bad job. But you got 7 out of 10. If you ask me, so that's your score. Your score is 7 out of 10, right? Yeah. It's not 10 out of, I'm not going to give you 10 out of 10 because I like you.
Well, right? Even breaking it down even further, a really good at bat baseball player, 300 is a good ball game, and that's 7 strikeouts out of 10.
Yeah. And so,
you know,
that's what it is. So, you know, I can say, like, do you like most of what they're doing? Yes. What grade would you give them? 7 out of 10. Okay.
That's a good fucking grade, man.
Yeah. I mean,
guys, a basketball player can shoot 35%. Just a matter of when he shot that 35%. If it was all at the end of the game, we're good to go.
Yeah. And so, I guess for me, like, okay. Because I'm, you know, Mr. Analyzer and everything. You know, I know I can sound like Debbie Downer when I'm being critical of something. But for me, it's just very simple. If, you know, again, if you got seven right, then you got 7 out of 10. That's what it is. Yeah. All right. And so, yeah, now look, you may have gotten the hardest question right. Okay. And that happens. Now you might get the hardest question right. And so, you know, and then, you know, I'll give you, you know, and I will give you some recognition for getting the hardest question right, but you still got 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I guess for me, you know, and I've been trying just like today, I was thinking about like previous WrestleManias and like, okay, how many, like of all the, like the build, you know, for the whole card, like how many pieces do we actually remember later, like
fun. None.
Well, not like, okay, like, or
8%.
Is maybe one, or it's usually maybe like one or maybe three matches at the most where we actually look back on the build and have these great moments from the build to the match. Like most of it is fine. Just like I say about TV matches, you know, most TV matches are fine. Okay. Most of the build to all, you know, WrestleMania has anywhere from, depending on the year, anywhere from 8 to 15 matches. And as far as the build for all of those matches, most of it is fine.
Well, let's rewind to last week's episode. We had Ray Cash on here and we talked about our WrestleMania playlist. And Ray Cash and I had a match that overlapped that honestly had very little build behind it. Ended up being one of the greatest pure wrestling matches in WrestleMania history. And that was Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle. There wasn't a whole year-long, six-month build to that thing. It was literally, they had a brief encounter, said, hey, I don't like you, you don't like me, let's have a match about it. And that was literally the build. I mean, that's kind of the condensed version, but more or less, that was the build. You know, I defy someone to go back to me and bring me without Googling it, exactly what the build was for Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle from that WrestleMania. There wasn't one. It was literally, I don't like your face. I don't like your face. Let's wrestle about it. And it ended up being one of the greatest matches ever in the history of, in the 41-year history of this thing.
Yeah. Or like, I think about like Hogan Warrior, okay? Like every, except for when they had the moment in the Royal Rumble, everything else they did leading up that match was dumb.
It was.
Everything was dumb, except for when they had the moment in the Royal Rumble with each other. And that was one of the greatest WrestleMania main events ever.
Yep.
And one of the biggest moments in WWE lore ever. But the 90% of the build to that match was dumb. Okay. Sasha and Bianca, that whole build for that match was horrendous.
It was awful. But what did they do?
Downright horrendous. Okay.
And they tore the house down at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, I guess, okay, because we spend time watching this stuff every week. Yeah. I mean, you kind of feel like, oh, this kind of sucks because we're watching it and we're spending time watching it. And when parts of it aren't very good, you do feel like you're wasting your time, and you kind of are, right?
And when we get to WrestleMania and they just take all that stuff that sucked and they put it all together in a hype video with some music, and then they hit these entrances, and then these two people go out there and have an awesome match, you forget all about it.
Yeah. And I think I've been saying that for weeks. We do this dance every year. The build sucks. There's no build. Oh, my God, WrestleMania was fucking awesome this year. It's rinse and repeat. And it has been for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, every now and then you get, like, with WrestleMania 30, the build was great with the Yes Movement and all that. And then the show was great, too. Right?
Yeah.
Every now and then you get that. Last year with all the Final Boss stuff was wonderful. Like, once they got rolling, that's just,
once they got moving on it, it started a little wonky.
Yeah. The last 3 weeks were great. Okay.
Yeah. Once they kind of hand waved all the shit, the stupid shit, and got moving. And then the show paid off, right? But I remember, like, was it WrestleMania 34? I remember people on podcasts and saying, oh, this might be the best WrestleMania ever. And then when the show was over, there was a whole lot of, man, this was shit.
And to be fair, at some point, Triple H is going to shit the bed. It's going to happen. Like, God, the best of them will. So I'm not worried about it. Even if it shits the bed, it's WrestleMania. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I really, really am.
Yeah, and I guess for me, it's better to...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I guess be more honest and more realistic year round. Like to me, it's better to call 7 out of 10, 7 out of 10 than like some people, cause some people are out here, you know, it's 7 out of 10 and they're calling it 10 out of 10. And if you tell them no, it's 7 out of 10, they call you a hater, right? There are people, there've been people doing that ever since Triple H took over, calling everything 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay. And for me, okay, you call a 7 when it's a 7. And you won't be out here looking for the big mistake, okay, that he might make or whatever. And which is, you know, when we talk about like the, you know, how many women's matches they book for stuff, that's why I don't look at it with rose colored glasses. because, you know, and just call it what it is all the time, you know, call it seven out of 10, you know, and I think you'll be a lot better off, because that doesn't mean it's bad.
No, that's a perfectly fine average. So we are going to go to commercial here in a couple minutes, but before we do, I want to say a big thank you and a big get well soon to Kevin Owens. Man, last Friday night sucked. Kevin Owens, it had been speculated, and I felt double bad for him in hindsight, because it got leaked early on before he even got a chance to make his announcement that he had a neck injury and that he was going to address it at SmackDown on Friday. And he addressed it and said, basically, look, guys, the long and the short is I'm injured. I got to have surgery. I've been dealing with this for months. And to think about the matches that guy has put on in the last 4 months while his neck was injured is incredible to think about. But, you know, it sucks because him and Randy had the potential to steal the show. And, you know, he's got to be gutted for that. Randy's got to be gutted for that. You know, the guys were looking forward to working together, and Randy being in his mid 40s now, I don't know how much longer he's got left. That window for those two to do that is closing rapidly, and even quicker now that Kevin Owens going to be out for an unknown amount of time, for neck surgery. My only hope with him is that he, you know, is healthy. You know, it's the same thing we say every time somebody has one of these serious injuries. I am not worried about your wrestling career right now. As a fan of Kevin Owens, I think it stinks. I hate it. I'm hurt. But as a human, I want Kevin Owens to be healthy, to be able to move around and live a perfectly normal, healthy life, take care of his kids, be there for his wife, you know, and the wrestling stuff, as we always say, will be here on the backside. And, you know, Kevin Owens being one of my favorites, I wanted to put over something Rob shared. It was Ricky Morton, wasn't it?
Yes.
Basically said something about Kevin Owens. And Rob, do you have it pulled up in front of you?
Let me grab it real quick here.
Let's see which one of us gets to it first.
I got it.
Okay. Okay, see, you're way quicker than I am.
Okay. So there's got Kevin Owens, the blueprint for the modern pro wrestler, authentic, intense, and endlessly passionate. He connects with fans like few can. Every match, every promo, he leaves it all in the ring. KO doesn't fit the mold. He redefines it, and just thought I would leave my opinion. And for those of you who are not familiar with Ricky Morton is one half of one of the greatest tag teams ever, the Rock and Roll Express. He is a WWE Hall of Famer, and that's high praise. Ricky's in his 60s now. I think he's doing the retired, like the farewell tour on the Indies. But for Ricky Morton to say that about you is really high praise. Ricky Morton is one of the best to ever do it. Okay. If you've never seen the Rock and Roll Express, I highly recommend go find some of their matches, especially with the Midnight Express. For somebody like him to recognize Kevin Owens, and Ricky's not really, he's not in the WWE loop really. So it's not, you know, which means basically Ricky's taking the time to find this shit on his own.
Yeah. He's not carrying the water for WWE. He's basically saying, look, this is what I see.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he has no obligation to put over anything WWE does. Okay. And so for him to come out and say that is pretty big.
Did you guys catch any of the Kevin Owens? I think it was on Ariel Helwani.
No, I didn't.
I've caught a few snippets here and there. It's really, really good. Well, if you get a chance, check it out. Kevin has become, I think, of the pillars of, and I consider these guys Triple H's pillars. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, God, I just had them all in my head. Asuka, and there was one more. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Asuka. There's one more that he's hired that has been just incredible since he brought them on board. And right now they're fell right out of my head. There's a fourth one, and it'll probably come to be at like 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, Kevin Owens is probably of all of them my favorite hire. Just because he's the perfect blend of old school and new school. Like, he's got a genuine toughness and a genuine, just authentic feel about him, but he can still go out there and do some of the more modern stuff that is more popular these days.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he could. Go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on you, man.
No, it's okay. It's just a bummer, you know, that first and foremost, obviously, you know, get well soon. But well, DJ, you were saying, you know, that wrestling thing, this wrestling thing will be there when you get back. Man, Kevin Owens, of all people, will be able to make money from professional wrestling in some form or fashion for the rest of his life. Kevin, take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Get like, well soon, big guy.
In any form or fashion, someone would be like, oh, you're ready to come back to work? Great. You know, so, yeah, just a big bummer because that build was actually one of the few that was really, really good. You know, Kevin Owens slowly losing his mind and whatnot. So, yeah, just a huge bummer and a get well soon.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go to a quick commercial. When we come back, Rob and Jason had boots on the ground for AEW Dynamite. They're going to talk about their weekend experience. Before they do, and before we go to break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you like, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check them out. Go pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up for a couple dollars more in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We'll be right back.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, we are back. Thank you again for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. My boys had a big weekend. They went on a little mini vacation to Philadelphia. They saw the AEW pay-per-view Dynasty, right, guys?
Yes, Dynasty.
Dynasty, okay, yeah. So I'm going to hand the show over to the boys. They're going to kick that around a little bit, talk about their experience, and hopefully have a good discussion about it. Guys, the floor is yours.
Okay, and
you're the host.
Okay. So before we get to the wrestling, I did a little gambling over the weekend, and I did really good until I picked South Carolina +6.5 against UConn, and that just burned everything to the ground. Okay. but anyway, all right. Yeah. So Jason and I, we went to AEW Dynasty, this past Sunday. We were in the building and we had a really good time. And so the opening match was Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight. That was his match from the Owen Hart Cup tournament. It was a quarterfinal match. I thought it was really fun, and Kevin Knight is a really talented guy. He just started there maybe like a week or two ago. They just signed him. He's been wrestling in New Japan and on the Indies. And I think I mentioned this before. There's a match out there on YouTube with him and Shelton Benjamin, I think from over in like the UK. And it's, you know, he's really talented. And I think he's a guy who definitely has potential to be something over there.
He's one guy like just watch it. I know, I've never been in the ring or whatever, but I watch this stuff a lot, guys. The way he moves, just every piece of confidence and every, like, it's, I'm not going to say he's like six moves ahead, but he might be like three, and you can just see it in the way he moves. So yeah, he's awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed my first in-person experience with him. So Kevin Knight's awesome.
Yeah, and of course Will won that match, and I'm guessing he's probably going to win the tournament, and then he'll probably be, you know, challenged for the world title at All in Texas.
I think Fletcher's on the other side of the bracket, though.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, yeah, I mean, that looks like the, and then, yeah, so then I think, and they're both, their little feud, they both won one match against each other. So, you know, that'll be the one to settle it, I think. And all right. So then after that, we had the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby and Shelton with MVP against Learning Tree, Big Bill and Brian Keith. And Big Bill showed out, man.
Dude, Big Bill. I love that dude. I loved that dude when he was Big Cass. I loved that dude when he was in that four-way for the Universal Championship.
Yes.
Like, I always saw it with Big Bill. And just finally being able to see it, like, in person, dude, that guy's awesome. He needs to get away from Jericho immediately. Please, somebody, anybody, yeah. Please get Jericho away from Big Bill. Stop it.
And And look, it's just good to see him doing well because, you know, for a while there, look, he was having some off the field for better, for lack of a better terminology. He was, you know, he was having some struggles, some health problems and all. And it's good. It's just good to see him back and see him doing well. And he did a really great job in there. And Bobby and Shelton are great as always.
Yeah, they're having too much fun, man. You can just see it.
Yeah. And so moving around a little bit. Okay. So, there was the next match that we were talking about. It was the trios match. It was the Death Riders, Claudio, Pack, and Wheeler Yuta against Rated FTR, which, you know, FTR and Adam Copeland. And the first man, look, Wheeler Yuta, the fuck you Yuta chant was going in that place for
that. That was one of the loudest chants of the night.
Yeah, they were on his ass. I mean,
crazy.
But look, there are fewer things better than sing along with Adam Copeland music, you know, time.
Dude, like, I've been in the buildings for some pretty cool, like, moments, WrestleMania and Rumbles and, like, AEW and all sorts of cool moments. That one's near the top. Like, yes. Brother, I was screaming singing. Along with everybody. Like, it was, I see clearly. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, man. And you can tell he loves it when that, you know, he eats it up every time they're doing it. He's just, I mean, obviously he's happy just to be able to wrestle after 9 years out and just to hear people singing the song like that. That's one of the most fun experiences to have at a wrestling show. So the big story out of that was that FTR turned on them after the match.
Yeah, they teased it like it was going to be the FTR split, and then all of a sudden, you know, Dax brought, you know, Cash back into the ring, and they did the concerto, and okay, FTR is on their own again.
Yeah, and so I think we're both thinking this, you know, we're going to get the Edge and Christian reunion out of this.
And again, we only have so much time left with these gentlemen. You have them both in your employ. Just do it. Like,
yeah,
I'm never going to make fun of, like, you for being a nerdy wrestling fan or anything like that, or copying somebody's homework. No, put those boys together and just let them do their thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they feuded with each other already. And it's, yeah, now it's time to team up, you know, and.
Okay, put it this way, tying back to our earlier conversation. If you get to the end of their contracts and you didn't, yes, I will tell you, you fumbled.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
And you lost, that means you left money on the table.
Yes. Cause looks, like, sometimes you just need to do the stupid thing, right? You just need to just do it. Yeah, don't fuck around. Sometimes, you know, and.
As much as we love to overcomplicate it and, you know, overanalyze it, again, as we were talking about earlier, sometimes it is the cartoon, guys. It is the Saturday morning cartoon. And,
yes.
You know, I want to see Tom and Jerry. Put Tom and Jerry back together again, please.
Yes. And, all right, so then we had Toni Storm against Megan Bain, and.
I love Megan Bain, man. Toni's amazing, though, but I just want to get, because we're about to gush over Toni, and that was. Again, being in the ring in the building for that entrance is just incredible. And the Rocky gimmick was amazing. But Megan Bain, big shout out to her because I've seen her at a bunch of New England shows around here when I, you know, did that when we were going to indie shows. And, you know, and she's just prototypical big girl wrestler and she does all that stuff very well. And it was very impressive to see, on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, the match was laid out perfectly. She threw Toni around, and Toni was fighting from underneath the whole time. You know, and she, you know, she went with a roll-up. She, you know, she pulled it out. But first of all, like, the little entrance video Toni had where she did the full, you know, she was jogging down the street in Philadelphia with the gray sweatsuit on, just like Rocky. I mean, and the whole training montage, you know. And then
she came out in the Stallone, you know, or excuse me, the Balboa Rocky gimmick.
Yeah.
With the robe and everything.
And then, you know, Luther was dressed like Mickey and had the towel.
It was awesome.
Yes. And look, you know, we were talking about Tony earlier. Look, for the past couple of years, when you combine everything, like, you know, the matches and the character and the storylines and the promo stuff.
And she's the people she's elevated along the way. Hello, Mariah May.
Yeah. And look, to me, like, the past couple of years, she's been like the best woman in wrestling. When you look at everything, when you took the total combination of everything, like this past couple of years, she's been the best woman in pro wrestling, in my opinion.
I mean, what more do you want her to do? Like, literally, she elevated somebody to like a main event status. She elevated a proverbial kid to main event status. She, as an all-time character, you know, yes. the vignettes are at least good, if not incredible. And then she's been doing it for how long? So yeah, she's been just firing, man. This has been an incredible run by her.
Yes.
So, very live.
Yeah. And, so then moving along to the match that I think we both said we were most interested in for the show was Kenny Omega, Ricochet and Speedball, Mike Bailey. And we talked about Ricochet earlier. He's not just doing great heel character work. He's doing great heel ring work too.
Dude, he's so good. Like he's this character and this, like an AEW and the whole thing have just been hand in glove for him. Like, yeah, it's just cool to see. And the match was so good. I didn't think it went 31 minutes and I never thought it got, again, they're three of the best to ever do it in terms of riding that lightning of, you know, doing all the flippy shit and making it incredible, but using it correctly. And I feel like they stayed in that zone.
Yeah. And the fact that, he's managed to make a bit out of people slapping him in his head.
Oh God. And, oh, the bald chance, dude.
Yes.
Dude, we were chanting the whole time. Like, they, you know, somebody would get him in the corner and do the 10 spot. And it was bald, 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 bald. You're still bald. You're still bald. We were giving it to him all night. It was awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, the match was excellent. You know, I could have, you know, they went about 31 minutes and Speedball was great. And he's an example of somebody who came to the right company.
Oh yeah. I mean, his character is Karate Man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not a knock. I love that guy.
Yes. But he definitely made the right call to come there.
Karate Man wrestles in AEW. Correct.
Yes. And then, so, you know, of course, Kenny wins. He's still the international champion. And as he's standing in the ring, you know, the Rainmaker music hits.
We're doing that at All In.
They're planting all the seeds for All In, you know, so it's going to be Kenny and Okada and, you know, the Edge and Christian reunion and, you know, Will's probably going to win the tournament challenge for the world title.
Death Riders and the Bucks versus, you know, Team AEW.
Yeah, so they're planting the seeds for All In. And we were having such a wonderful time at this show.
Rob.
And then.
The lights went out.
I mean, imagine.
No, hold on, Rob. And actually, I think I've been in the building. I can say we. Because the times we have been in the building when the lights have gone out, when the lights come back on, I remember two that we have been in there for. The lights come back on, and Finn Balor, in full demon getup, is standing on the turnbuckle, and he jumps on the Bloodline. Okay? And then the next time, the lights come back on, And the American badass Mark Calloway Undertaker is standing in the ring and chokeslams The Rock in the middle of WrestleMania 40. Amen. So imagine our shock and our awe and our utter rage and bile as the lights come back on and Matthew and Nicholas Jackson proceed to beat the shit out of Swerve.
This was like for me. This was like if somebody gifted me football game tickets, NFL tickets, and then it was a surprise who it was going to be. And then I went out there and I sat down in my seat and out came the Dallas Cowboys. Cause I'm a Commanders fan. We hate the Cowboys. I don't know if I've said it enough times on this show, but I've said it in many other places. I absolutely cannot stand Matt and Nick Jackson. To me, they are all that is wrong with modern day professional wrestling. I cannot stand them. So.
And if you listen to the show, ditto.
Yeah. And, this was like, you go to a restaurant and you have a great appetizer and the main course is great. And then it's time for dessert and somebody, and they bring you out a pile of shit. Literally.
It was so. Talk about landing with a thud.
I mean,
oh man.
I'll chime in here real quick. Somebody has got to tell Tony these guys are not stars. They're just not. Them, Jungle Jack, they're not. It's just, I'm sorry. The Bucks were a great act on the indies. Like, that shit works on the indies because you can do anything on the indies. You put that on a nationally or even globalized television wrestling show, it lands with a thud every single time. Sorry, there's a reason WWE never picked them up. And don't tell me it's because they didn't want to go. Bullshit.
I mean, and look, Swerve and Moxley were actually having a good match.
Dude, they were cruising. That was the most. I was like, I think I sent you a message. Or I was like, is Swerve because we were a few feet away from each other. We were in the same row though. I'm like, is Swerve Dragon a good match out of Jon Moxley right now? Yeah. So we didn't need this shit. Just have Moxley win. Like, I'm bop him with the title, and yeah, all right, fine, whatever.
I mean, and they were having a good match, and then Hangman Page comes out there, and he and Swerve looked like they were, you know, the week before, they looked like they were kind of putting the seeds together to kind of squash their beef, but they're a long way from doing that, but. He comes out there and is kind of like, well, who's he going to help? Or is he going to hit Swerve, or is he going to stop the Death Riders interfering?
He was primed on the edge of the ring, like holding the ropes, doing his little dance, ready, basically cocked and ready to fire with his, what's his finisher?
The
Buckshot Lariat?
Yeah.
Buckshot Lariat, thank you.
Yeah. And so, and then actually this was set up really nicely because he's standing there on the apron. And we know he still hates Swerve, and he said a million times, you're never going to be world champion again as long as I'm around here, because I'm going to stop you every time. So he's standing on the apron, and before he can do anything, the Moxley's boys come out there and they attack him, and he starts fighting them back. And then
Mox and Swerve are standing perfectly in the, like, in the perfect spots where he's exactly in the middle where you can't tell who he's like priming to get.
Right. And so they set that up nicely. And then Samoa Joe and Hook and Shibata came out there and started running off the Death Riders.
To Tony Khan. Sorry to keep interrupting you, Rob, credit to Tony Khan. Earlier in the night, I in fact added Tony Khan, even though I'm private. I added Tony Khan and I said, send Hook. And yeah. He did. It's okay. Kudos, Tony. Thank you.
So, Joe's guys took out the Death Riders, and then for that brief second, for about 30 seconds, because I didn't think Swerve was going to win going in, but for those 30 seconds when Joe's guys took out everybody, I thought, oh, they might actually do it here. I mean, they did a good job of roping us in to think that they might actually do it here.
Yeah, I was pulled in too. I was like, I turned to Emily. I was like, are they going to do it?
Yeah. And then
once Joe was chasing those boys backstage, I was like, oh man.
Right. And then the lights went out and then, you know, and then so first I'm thinking like, well, who's it going to be? Like, is it, you know, cause is
I
it going to be
one of them run? So I was
it's
like,
Sting! It's Sting!
Well, I was, you know,
That would have been awesome.
I knew it wasn't Sting.
But I was immediately thinking, like, wait a minute. Did somebody leave WWE that we haven't thought about? You know, I'm just trying to think, like, has somebody left recently that we haven't thought about that might show up here? Or is there somebody that they may have signed from somewhere else that I haven't, that we haven't thought about? That's what I was thinking, that it was going to be somebody who, but I couldn't think of anybody who had left, you know, recently. I couldn't think of anybody who they, you know, you know, who had who even left some other company or whatever that they could have brought in. So I was like, well, who's it going to be? And then the lights came on and it was Matt and Nick Jackson. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like Matt and Nick fucking Jackson.
What like, a rib.
Yeah.
Really?
For really? About 1 second while the lights were out before I saw the dude, one of the Jacksons run by. And credit to them. If my eyes can be trusted, they ran from the back to the center of the ring and they were ready to go. So they sprinted. But for a brief second there, Rob, I was like, did Malachi work the sheets? And I was like, I was going to be like, that's going to be pretty impressive if he did that. But it was Matt and Nick Jackson.
And then
literally, like, so they help Mox win, and, you know, we leave, and literally, I shit you guys not, we are arm in arm, just like, consoling each other, walking down the streets of Philadelphia, like, swearing off wrestling shows in Philadelphia, because the last time we were in Philadelphia, it was day 1,316 of 1,316 days. So, yeah. No more shows in Philadelphia, Rob.
Yeah, you guys are cut off from Philly. No more of that for you guys. Well, let's come down to Florida next time.
I mean, oh, boy. Yeah, it was just, I mean, everything was going so well up until then.
I was about to say, up until there, how was the show? Like, did you get, it sounds like you guys genuinely enjoyed yourselves. They shit the bed on the finish.
I had a blast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
I got to, because I wore my, I was a jerk, and I didn't change at the hotel. I did mean to, but I didn't. So I was wearing my Roman Reigns track jacket, my Smash 'em, Stack 'em, Pin 'em shirt. So I couldn't resist myself when Rated FTR came out, you know, after we were done singing along. I was like, Culp, you're on my shirt! Look, you're on my shirt! So. But seriously, the show itself was a ton of fun. I don't think the audience ever got truly obnoxious to their credit, with the chants and whatnot. Rob, did you have a different opinion?
No, I mean, it was a really fun show. We had a really good time. And right up until the very end.
Right.
And to me, I'm perfectly fine with your heel world champion winning on a B pay-per-view because Dynasty is not one of their A level pay-per-views. It's like a B show. Your heel world champion winning and keeping the title on a B pay-per-view is perfectly fine. But the fact that it was Matt and Nick Jackson that helped him. I mean,
yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's not lament any further. What do you say we get out of here tonight?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. We're going to leave you guys on a downer. I hate to do that.
Yeah. It was a good show, though, all together. I mean, except for that one thing, it was a good show.
Okay. We'll leave it on that note, then. It was a good show with a shit finish and call it a night there. let's go around the room. Thank my co-hosts for another great, fun show. And I want to thank you guys, specifically Jason and Rob. I had a shit night. Like, and you'll hear this at the tail end. I'm going to put my little story here at the tail end of this episode. We talked in the pre-show. I had a shit night to the point where I even told the guys, I was like, screw this. You guys go without me. Finally, in the last minute, I was able to pull things together. As always, you guys pulled me out of the doldrums. I was able to sit here, have a great conversation, have a fun chat with you guys. And as always, I appreciate the two of you for that.
I told you. You know?
Yeah. Jason told me that. I don't know if it made the kickoff show, but he told me that. He's like, look, he's like, why don't we just start talking? And, you know, and that's what he told me. And, you know, I was like, okay, you know what? We'll find a topic. Cause I didn't watch Dynasty, and Jason's like, you know what? And this is, I'm giving Jason all the credit in the world here, cause he was absolutely right. Cause I was going to lead off the show with just letting them talk about Dynasty. And he's like, no, let's find a topic that you do want to talk about and get you into the flow. And let's do that first. And Jason was the right call.
I have a good idea once in a while. I just say that because it's happened to me. Like, I've come into the show with a bad attitude, and then we get talking, and I'm like, oh, okay, let's go.
Yeah, so, now I'm in, and now we're dialed in and ready to go. And that's part of the reason why I love doing this, and why even on the nights where I'm just like, I've had a shit week, I don't want to do this tonight, I do this because I love you guys. I love doing this for the people that love listening to us. And once we get going, man, the rest of the crap goes away. So,
yeah.
All right, let's wrap back out around the room. Thank my boys, Jason, sir. Good show tonight.
Awesome show. Glad we were able to lift your spirits, my friend.
Thank you again. And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, sir, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right. And to you, the listener, I hope you're enjoying this WrestleMania season. The Chairshot Radio Network has got a big week coming at you next week. Not only will we be covering WrestleMania both nights, giving our predictions, talking about the card as a whole once it's finally set. Ray Cash has a whole week of Cashamania coming your way. Several different episodes. Rob's recorded something with him. Kenny Killa, and they've dragged Chris Platt out of retirement. They've got a little something coming up. Myself and Ray have something coming up. He's bringing back the Outsider's Edge. Whole bunch of stuff coming from the Chairshot Radio Network. We got a big week next week. Everything you need, it is going to be, as Ray would say, your soundtrack to WrestleMania week. I am DJ. I want to thank you again, as always, for listening to us. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week. All right, guys, I'm going to get off of here. I'm cooked.
All right.
So, all right, man.
Thanks again, and I'll talk to you guys in the morning, all right?
Okay, nice. All
right, bye. Recording. Because I'll slap this at the tail end of the episode.
All right.
Oh, there he is. Wow, what nice of you to join us there, coffee guy.
Did you tip your delivery guy, your valet?
Well, I mean, I always tip the DoorDash people.
Jesus.
We waited like 10 minutes on Rob. Rob said, I'm going to get coffee. And like 10 minutes later, he pops up. And I'm asking Jason, I'm like, what do they do? Have a coffee cup on a pole match? What happened here?
Man, DoorDash and coffee. Rob,
yes.
Come on, man.
Look, man, I'm already – look, okay, after a certain time of day, when I'm home, I'm home. All
right? Rob, your birthday's next week, right? Or next month, right?
It is next month, yes.
Send me your address, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
My wife
totally feel that, though, because
– my wife heard that, and she about had
Part of my frustration today didn't start with the computer. My frustration started on my commute home. I have about a 23-mile commute home, and depending on the day, I'm on the interstate. Depending on the day, traffic is shit. Today, traffic was double shit. So the last exit before mine is about there's about a 2-mile separation between the two. Now, mind you, this is a interstate, so the speed limit is 70. We usually run 80 on a good traffic day. It took me 35 minutes to get from one exit to the other. Okay. And, you know, I knew we were recording tonight. So I was like, okay, I got to be home by 6. That way I have time to eat dinner, prep for the show, mess around with my piece of shit, a computer, which is an entirely different story, just in case it decides to shit the bed, which, ta-da, tonight my computer shit the bed. So it's getting to be, and I'd already told, Tina had texted me earlier in the day, we needed milk and we needed bread. So I'm like, okay, I'll hit by Walmart because there's Walmart like a 2-minute drive from the house. I can pop in there, grab bread, grab milk, get the hell out, and be home in time to eat and make the podcast. Now, traffic decided to fuck me because it was an accident right on the main my exit, like literally like a block away from the exit. And then there's you get off the interstate and you make a right to go down the main road to head towards my house. There's a huge intersection right there. That light was out. Now, this is peak rush hour traffic and a traffic light is out. And it goes in four different directions, including four different turns and all this. So there's a ton of traffic here right now. And, of course, everybody's treating it like a four-way stop. And, of course, because humans are humans, they're all going to be respectful, right? So there's a big clusterfuck on Malabar Road, which is what actually tied up traffic all the way out onto the interstate. So finally, I texted Tina about in between the exits. I said, look, I said, you may be going to Walmart after I get home because I just want to get the fuck home. You know, I want to eat dinner and start getting ready for my podcast. So I finally make it home. We eat dinner. She goes to run to the store, and then she had been doing some stuff on the computer. I came in to do my stuff, and then my computer completely just shit the bed, and it took me, what, 45 minutes, almost an hour to get this thing up and running?
Yeah.
So it's now almost 8:30. I wanted to start hard by 7:30, and apparently I meant Central Time. So that's my story.
We're here, man. It's all that matters.
But the long and short of that is I feel robbed. All I wanted to do tonight was get home. I didn't want to go to fucking Walmart, you know. And I sure as hell wasn't leaving the house after I got home. So
fair enough.
All right, so Rob, here's what Jason and I talked about while we were waiting on you. I'm just going to kind of kick things off talking about the Ricky Saint situation and something Jason said, you know, how do you fumble this guy? And, you know, we could kick back and forth that both sides, you could argue have fumbled people and maybe dig a little deeper into how and why that happens and, you know, see where it goes from there. We can do a little bit of the WrestleMania build and then the back half of the show, you and Jason could take over and talk about Dynasty.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're already recording. I'll give us a few seconds of dead space here, and then we'll do our thing.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.